follow up from last week, we spoke to DJ Leary, who had a paying gig, which is unusual for a writer, and it was for a local bike company, which I was kind of shocked to hear at the time. It was Pivot Cycles, and it was for their new Shadow Cat. And the funny thing was that DJ didn't really know that much about the bike, and I asked him, well, what kind of bike it was, and he wasn't sure, so I described the different types it could be, and he said, oh, it's a gravel bike, which is basically a road bike with the squirrely kind of curvy drop bars.
Right.
And so after we did the show, the first thing I did was look up the bike, and it's not a road bike.
It's not a road bike.
It's very much a mountain bike.
Oh no.
So I mean, I love DJ, but you know, obviously, he's not a cycling aficionado.
But I just wanted
to make sure that we cleared that up. That the Shadow Cat is not a gravel bike. Does not have drop bars. It is very much a mountain bike. But he was actually kind of right in one thing. He said it was a more relaxed kind of bike. And for Pivot, that, you know, that's all relative. This is still very much a hardcore mountain bike. But in the scope of mountain biking, you've got the lightweight, really fast cross-country racing mountain bikes. And then on the other end of the scale, you've got the like the downhill bike. So they all have full suspension, but one has a more suspension than the other one. And one, literally, the downhill bikes, you, believe it or not, this actually happens.
Okay.
People will take their bikes to ski resorts during the summer. They will take the lift up to the top of the mountain with their bikes, and then they just ride down.
Why?
Because that doesn't require any pedaling. So that's like the downhill bikes, and the cross-country bikes are the ones that go uphill, and the ones that go downhill are downhill. So this one, however, the Shadow Cat, is kind of right in the middle. It's designed to just go out and have fun. So I kind of like the vibe on that.
Okay. I thought you would purchase one by now.
Yeah, that would be the next point. As I wanted to follow up, I said these things are a little bit expensive, and the Shadow Cat is not the extreme end of anything.
Oh, that's
good. It's right kind of in the middle. Okay. But even that one starts at $7,700.
Oh, wow.
So I'd have to sell my car. Don't want to sell my car.
No, I wouldn't sell. Not in Phoenix.
The other follow up from a couple of episodes ago.
Okay.
You asked me about Instagram and using your daily creative.
Yes. Yeah, I'm still pondering.
Still pondering creating a new Instagram account just for that stuff. And do you remember what I told you about
you
that?
You said no, and I've been struggling with that because as I'm compiling, I'm just going to do a dump, like an Instagram dump, once I get everything organized and the photos arranged and stuff. But I'm struggling with it because I really feel like I should do a separate account, but I don't know.
Shouldn't listen to me because I think I'm a bit of a hypocrite. Because at the time I mentioned that even though I was suggesting that you not create a separate account, I said I had a separate account for that stuff. So
you did.
But now I feel like even more of a hypocrite because I'm getting the feeling that I want to create another account
on
my Instagram. Because I have been working more with black and white photography lately, since the beginning of the year. And I kind of want to create a new account just for that. That would be called something like Black and White and Square, because there are, I want to do all black and whites and I want them all be square and mostly my cat, which means I don't really want to mess with my regular painting account or my general dumb stuff, you know, personal nonsense.
Yeah, I think I need to separate all this out. I didn't have a clear vision for when I was doing Instagram. I just kind of opened it up. So.
The takeaway, my advice to you is not to take my advice.
Great advice.
Moving on. Last follow-up. Last week, we talked to DJ, as we said. We did it outside. And it was a curious thing because every time I do that, when I'm talking to other people, especially if I'm recording it, it seems to me that the birds get a lot more active.
Right.
When I'm out there recording on the podcast. And I always figured, well, I'm just paying more attention because, you know, I'm actually listening. I've got to listen to the podcast. It's being recorded and make sure everything's going right. So I'm probably just more attuned or ready to listen to other ambient things. I'm more, more prepared to listen to it. And so I went on the internet. I was wondering if there's any way I could, you know, keep the birds quiet. So I did some research on the birds, and to my kind of shock and horror, I discovered that birds aren't real.
No.
Don't laugh at me. This is real.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
Am I the last one to know this?
I started having some suspicions about this a while back. You know, my mom used to feed the birds, and we had like little treats and the hummingbird thing, and there was quite a bird scenario here, even though we only have a couple trees in the backyard. Then we started noticing a lot of pigeons in the front, and I think one of our neighbors must have been poisoning them. And I know I'm pro-pigeon, but it was sad. And then all of a sudden, we realized that I haven't heard birds around this neighborhood in a while. You know, I don't even bother feeding them anymore. I had little drinking fountains for them out the back, and you'd hear them chirping. And
why are you feeding them if they're not real?
I don't feed them anymore because I don't think they are. I think the birds disappeared.
The real birds.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did the research, Catherine, like I've done my own research on this mm-hmm. now, Catherine.
Okay.
And I'm convinced that they started killing off the birds in the 1970s.
That's what they're saying.
Seems weird. It seems like that would have been more of an 80s thing, but that's okay. You know, 1984 and all that, but mm-hmm. hey, man. And it was in the New York Times. So, you know, mm-hmm. here's the thing. They're using the New York Times to try and debunk this new conspiracy because they take this poor kid mm-hmm. who has found the evidence, who's found the truth,
mm-hmm.
this Peter McKindo. McKindo?
McKindo.
Like that. Mm-hmm. This poor kid, he discovered it accidentally because he was basically raised on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's just trying to spread the truth. And the New York Times basically does this hit piece where it's all about trying to expose him as a fraud. It's talking about how he's faking all this stuff. It's like a big joke. And what better proof that birds really aren't real than to see the New York Times trying to disprove it? Because, you know, it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's the government pulling the strings over there, and yeah, it's a big scam. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he's got a website.
Well, it's got a website. It's got to be real.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really funny. Actually, this is one of the, I can't remember last time I enjoyed a New York Times article as much as I did this one. This was just really great.
It was good.
Poor kid. This brilliant young kid came mm-hmm. up with this conspiracy idea, and it's a complete parody, and it's basically a parody of conspiracy
mm-hmm.
theories.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a couple of years ago, he was at a Trump rally and was so moved by the crazy nonsense that he saw that he says he grabbed a piece of paper and wrote down the first three words that came into his head, and it mm-hmm. was, birds aren't real. Now, I don't know, that sounds a little apocryphal, so I don't know if I believe that, but it doesn't matter. It's all part of the story.
It was a great story.
The thing that kind of bothers me about it, though, is that he's 23 years old, so he doesn't understand that some people are going to take this seriously. Because that's just the way the world works. You know the flat earth nonsense that people actually believe? There are societies, flat earth societies going around trying to prove
that the earth is flat. Yes, that blew me away.
That started in the 1990s on a chat board as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And now there are tens of thousands of people all over the world, maybe hundreds of thousands of people, who believe it and go to conferences to prove that the earth is flat and that it's a big conspiracy by NASA. I'm not sure why it would be, but that's the way it is.
I'm not sure why any of this would be. And that was my, not the downside, but the opposite take on this. I thought it was kind of brilliant. I thought it was quirky and funny. I understood that, you know, of his generation, he's kind of, you know, eschewing all of this conspiracy nonsense and kind of, you know, just making fun of it, essentially. But the other hand, like, people are so silly and so into misinformation and wanting to grasp at these, like, outrageous theories that, you know, you could really start anything and it catch fire. And that it is, you know, obviously this is ludicrous, but
it's not any more ludicrous than anything else. I really don't think it's going to do any harm. I mean, you never know what something's going to turn into, but I don't think he's doing a bad thing here. I support what he's doing because he's thrown himself into it and seems like he's done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
There's a video that we'll have linked on our website that you guys absolutely should watch.
Good.
It was just like a 3-minute video where he hires an actor to play a CIA agent describing the process and this secret program that the government killed the birds and replaced mm-hmm. them with spy birds that was spying on them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a brilliant video, and you got to watch the end. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but please come back next week because I'll have to explain it to half of the audience who doesn't get the joke.
I didn't get the joke.
Yeah. It's understandable.
Okay.
What I loved about the video, though, that it obviously, it puts it all into context because it's so obviously a parody.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was important. But one of the things I really took away from this article was a quote that he said, and he said, I was raised by the internet because that's where I ended up finding a lot of my actual real world education through documentaries on YouTube.
Wow.
My whole understanding of the world was formed by the internet. And this is actually a good story in that context because he was raised as a very conservative with all kinds of crazy Christian beliefs.
Yes, homeschooled.
And he was able to use the internet to basically deprogram himself. And that is what the internet could be and so rarely is. It's mm-hmm. like a chance to take bad information and reprogram it with good information. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be, but usually isn't that.
Yes. Very nice take on the article, James.
New York Times of all places.
New York Times.
Like I said. Oh.
I think that's wrapped up. James, I sent you an article that one of our listeners forwarded to me saying that as soon as he read this, he thought of the podcast. I thought that was so fantastic.
The most important part of that sentence
yes.
is that a listener sent something to you.
Yes.
Which proves to all you people, we do actually have listeners.
We have listeners.
There you go. That's proof for you.
So thanks to Jay. And
I'm going
to
tell my mom that. Oh. See, Mom, I told you we actually have actual real listeners.
We have listeners. Yeah, so thanks to Jay in Illinois for sending this in. And it was this delightful article about a senior citizen who actually stole a work of art. Gone to school? Who actually stole a work of art. This artist, this guy, Oriol Villanova, has a series called Old Masters.
Oh, my God.
I know it irks you. And the series, it just kind of entails this blue work jacket that he hangs on the wall and then puts in pictures of
postcards
and little images of major art history figures, whereby he purchases them from flea markets and from museum shops.
Yeah, if you're going to buy postcards, that's where you're going to get them. It's like the article makes it sound like this is some kind of process. It's like he went out one day and bought postcards.
I know. How many times have you been to a
thrift store? I can do that.
I could do that. And they usually have baskets right on the register and you can pick through them. But anyway, at the Art Musée Picasso, the jacket was displayed in this exhibit called Picasso à l'image. And anyway, so he had the jacket was hanging on the wall with some images of Picasso's work on these postcards.
In the jacket. In the jacket.
And, okay, you want to take it from there?
I'm glad I did, because I'm sure you were going to call this poor woman old again, which is irrelevant.
I say old?
This beautiful French woman walks up, sees this jacket, and catches her fancy. She takes it, she gets it altered to fit her. She gets it tailored. And then she walks in the next day with this beautiful piece. She's upgraded the piece, clearly, because it was just, you know, one of those loose-fitting schmocks, basically. Mm-hmm. Smocks? Schmock.
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 Schmock. Schmock works.
Schmock or smock? Smock.
It's a smock, but yeah. Yeah, I don't know that she wore it in. They had
it on. She did.
Oh, I thought that they found it in the house and they found it altered.
She came back to the museum.
Right, she came back and the police were there looking for evidence.
They arrested this beautiful woman in her beautiful, mm-hmm. I think they were just envious of her beautifully tailored coat.
Yeah, she took the coat to a tailor, had the sleeve shortened so it would fit her. I read this.
Tailored.
This was equivalent to that security guard in the Russian museum who went and remember that? We talked about that?
Yeah, I don't know if it's equivalent. This is way better.
This is way better. Way better. But it's kind of like, what is this, a spate of art crimes? Like, let's just go in a gallery and
quote art crimes.
Right. So this isn't art to you, huh?
Oh God, no. Of course not. A smock hanging up with postcards in the pockets. How is that art? And it's a whole freaking series. Don't get me started, man.
Get started. Old Masters.
Okay, I'll get started. This is how you do it. This is the way you get to success. Mm-hmm. Step one: steal jacket. Step two: have it tailored. Step three, return to the scene of the crime and show off how much better it looks now. Catherine, only in France. I mean, where else could that happen?
I don't know, but I thought it was precious. I laughed so hard.
I love that story. I don't know why she was encouraged to do that, but more power to you.
More power to you.
And please, people, just because it's hanging on a wall in a gallery does not make it art. That is not the criteria by which we judge things to be art. You can't hang up a coat and call it art. I saw a TikTok of this woman who does, quote, stupid news articles every day. And she's standing in the Museum of Modern Art in New York.
Okay.
And she says, there's Starry Night three floors above me. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the masterpieces.
Yeah. Van Gogh.
She's standing in front of a made bed. A bed that's been made. And that is also in the museum. And that is also considered art.
I don't get it.
Just because it's in a museum does not make it art.
Does not make it art.
Stupid news. Or better yet, stupid art. Maybe we can start a new series, a TikTok series called Stupid Art.
Why don't we? We have all these ideas.
I spent 3 hours creating our first TikTok.
TikTok,
okay? So I don't know if I have enough time in my day. My busy day.
I told you TikTok was brutal. I wasted 3 hours.
It really wasn't the TikTok, though. It was going through our damn show and finding a piece that I could cut out and snip into the TikTok.
Oh,
that's what
I was
took
trying
the most time.
I was just winging it with that bear, and it was like a 3-day process of pain and agony, and oh my God.
Anyway,
horrible.
So there is more nonsense going on this past week, though.
In the art world. The art quote world.
A Warhol, Maryland brings a record auction price of
$195 million.
Half of what it would cost to buy back the nuclear arms that Dr. Evil stole. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
From Austin Powers.
Yes.
He says he basically stole a bunch of nuclear weapons and said, If you don't give me the money, I'm gonna blow up the world. Mm-hmm. And he says, you got to give me $100 million. And everybody starts laughing. Dude, you just got unfrozen from the 1960s. There's a little thing called inflation. $100 million is like nothing. It doesn't even buy a Warhol anymore. You can buy half a Warhol.
Oh.
It's always disappointing to see these outrageous auctions. On the other hand, you know my distaste for Warhol.
I do. That's why I sent this to you.
But I look at this piece and I kind of feel something.
Yeah.
I look at it and I kind of see the 60s, or at least the aesthetic side of the 60s. I don't see a lot of the unrest that was happening in the 60s, but I see that it's like there's a certain sliver that I think it captures.
That's something coming from you.
That I just said something nice about Andy Warhol. And this
is
the
God.
Thing. There is something there. There's this very narrow window for Andy Warhol in the early 60s where he's doing moderately interesting pieces and then he just loses the thread completely and wastes the rest of his time, you know, taking movies of people jacking off.
God.
But here's my question.
What?
At the point in time which we are now, in 2022, who do you think is being helped by the other person's fame more? Do you think Marilyn Monroe is more famous because of Warhol or vice versa?
Vice versa.
So you think Warhol is more famous because of Marilyn Monroe? At this point, I'm thinking that Marilyn Monroe is probably more famous because of Andy Warhol than Andy Warhol is because of him. Her. I'm sorry. I can't keep my own sentences straight. Think about it. Monroe was an actress in the 60s. You know, a mediocre actress in the 60s. A sex pot. We don't remember anyone from the 50s or the 70s that same
I see your point.
I'm not saying she would be completely forgotten, but I don't think she'd be as nearly as famous without Andy Warhol as she is now.
I see your point.
I don't know if that's good or bad. It's just an observation. So I said something nice about Andy Warhol.
I'm worried that like hell's going to freeze over.
I think hell is frozen because I hate the cold. That's why I live in Phoenix.
Okay. I think you're right. I think that he's like frozen Marilyn. Pretty much like when I see this image. And I think maybe it was referenced in this article or another one. They said that it's such a snapshot of her that that's what we see. We see his depiction of her when we think of Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
So to your point, you know, and it could maybe be a wash in terms of who's more popular. I think they each bring, you know, she definitely shored up his imagery for the ages.
Let's be totally fair and frank. I think he leveraged her fame for his own gain.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But this piece is probably one of the most iconic. There were several of these. And of all of them, I think this one really, it does speak differently. I don't know if it's the blue eyeshadow, the arch of her brows, there's something about it.
It's definitely my favorite. There's a simplicity to it and a shock value of the 60s. It's like it combines the color. It combines some of the, you know, it was all about reproduction, and you can see the reproduction. You can see the print quality in the piece. So there's just a je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
If you will. Now I'm speaking French. I'm not only saying nice things about Andy Warhol, but I'm also speaking French now.
It's
so
another
it's
level
over.
Today.
I'm done. James is. I don't know what has replaced James, but it's not the normal James.
Maybe it's like one of those birds.
It's a bird. I'm a bird brain now.
Right. So Shot Sage Blue Marilyn set the record. I think that's. I was okay with this. I wasn't stunned.
I'd hang it in my house.
You would hang it in your house?
Yeah, I would.
I would
well,
too.
Not the original because I think it's too big, but Certainly.
Well, and it's too expensive.
Oh, well, not for my house. I live in Coronado.
Oh, okay. I guess it wasn't even the most expensive 20th century art piece. I know, de Kooning.
Was it de Kooning? I don't remember.
And yeah, but de Kooning's interchange.
The highest price in auction.
In auction.
We've complained about this incessantly on the podcast, so these prices are insane.
Yes.
Absolutely yes. Over the top insane.
Yeah,
There's no way to justify it.
No, can't justify it. But speaking of art, have you seen, I actually want to go. I don't know if you saw this. The Phoenix Art Museum has a new exhibit that's going through September of this year. It's called Desert Rider, and it's exploring the culture of cars.
That's very Phoenix.
Yeah, skateboarding. And it has like these lowrider cars and different images of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I think it looks kind of interesting.
I haven't heard about it, but yeah, you should go check it out for the podcast.
I will. Yeah. My friends are coming up from Tucson in a week or so. And that's on our list of to-dos. So
you should do some TikToks from there.
Oh.
And then get chased out.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I don't know that that's, I mean, that's not kosher, is it? To like,
it should be. Why not?
I've always wondered, like, is it okay to film art and then post it?
It depends. You know, mostly I think it's okay. But okay. I do remember in the Heard Museum, there was one exhibit that I found really interesting. I don't remember the artist's name at the at the moment. But I noticed after taking a bunch of pictures, on the way out, they had a sign that says, please do not photograph the works.
Oh.
It's like, oops.
Did you delete them?
I'll refer you to my counsel to answer that question.
No, I was just wondering because, well, you know, we were talking about Instagram earlier and, you know, what's an episode if I don't reference BTS? But RM on BTS, like of BTS, like has an Instagram account called Archive, and he visits a lot of museums. And I find of all the Instagram accounts, and not because he's in BTS, but I really do find it very captivating. And I enjoy looking at his photos and where he's visited. And it just, I don't know. I find it interesting, but I question, it's like, gosh, is that okay to
Well, I think generally speaking it is, especially in the United States where we have the First Amendment and it's covered under free speech to take pictures. So here's the thing.
Okay.
If you're on public land or a public institution and a museum is considered to be, even though it's a privately owned space, it's open to the public. So it's considered to be kind of a quasi public space.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the right to photograph.
Okay.
That doesn't mean you necessarily have the right to publish, but you certainly have the right to photograph. Even if they ask you, you know, if they post a sign not to photograph or whatever, that doesn't count because it's infringing on your First Amendment right.
Okay.
Again, it doesn't mean you can broadcast it, but you can still take the picture.
Okay, sounds good because I will update you on this Desert Rider scenario.
Great.
I'm very captivated by this. It came up a lot even on my Instagram feed, you know, when they do the little reels. And it just looked interesting. And then there's another exhibition I want to see. It's called Breaking Up. They had a little film about like the installation. And it will kind of... So I'll update.
All right. So you're going to ride down to the museum on your new tricycle?
I haven't purchased a new tricycle yet. And I live a bit far north to do that. And I think I'd probably get to, I don't know, central and northern and have to park it. So no, I won't be doing that.
Okay. Apparently a trend has been for adults to return to tricycles. And I don't see this as a bad thing. I just see the Wall Street Journal article as a bad thing because the Wall Street Journal sucks and usually does bad reporting. And this is a good example of that.
Good example of bad reporting.
Yes. Very sloppy. But it's an interesting point that more adults are turning to tricycles because obviously they're easier to balance. I will point out though, being the bike nerd, you know this is going to happen.
Yes, I knew it.
The article didn't bother pointing it out, but I'm going to bother to point it out. There are two types of tricycles. Type A is what most people are familiar with. One wheel in front, two wheels in back.
Right.
The less common, but way better, is two wheels in front and one wheel in back. Now, if anybody's seen this, they've probably most likely seen it on the motorcycles that are done like this. Not the ones that actually look like motorcycles, but they look like cars, but they've got two wheels in the front and one in the back, and they're actually considered to be motorcycles for licensing purposes.
Okay, but don't you have to lie down on those?
Well, no, you sit on them.
You sit on them?
Yeah.
Why am I seeing people lying down?
Why would you lie down? What are you talking
about? I don't know. I've seen like those bikes. They look like tricycles, right. And then it looks like a luge.
When you're talking about the tricycles with the two in the front and the one in the back,
right?
It's a broad spectrum. One of the reasons you do a tricycle with the two wheels and the front and the one in the back is to get down between the two wheels in the front and in front of the wheel in the back. Which means your aerodynamic profile is like nothing. You're lying on the ground. You have no aerodynamic profile whatsoever. It makes you much faster because you don't have any headwind to contend with. But those are pretty extreme. And there are, you know, you can get ones where you sit fully upright with the two in the front and the one in the back. But all the ones, as far as I know, where they have one wheel in the front and the two wheels in the back, is you feel you sit completely upright. And they look mostly like a normal bike. Except it's a tricycle. And this is one of the issues I had with the article was that they were talking about how different the geometry is, and you sit on it differently, you get on it differently. I'm like, no. This is like, by looking at the pictures, you can tell this is wrong. A tricycle is exactly like a regular bike.
Yeah.
It just has two wheels in the back. So the geometry is all the same. You still sit behind the cranks, just like a regular bicycle.
Sorry. Right. And they were saying how they were so different, and I didn't see any difference. Like all the bikes I was looking at, they look clunky. You look kind of crazy.
Yeah. They do look a little clunky. I don't say they look crazy.
I would feel crazy. I feel crazy on them.
But the article specifically says, the manufacturers are trying to make them look more sleek to make them more attractive to younger buyers.
I didn't see it.
They have three examples in the article.
Yes.
Every single one looks like it's from 1950.
Don't they? I know.
They don't give a single example of a sleek tricycle.
I was looking for it. I thought I missed something. I didn't miss anything.
No, not that I saw. So not only did they completely forget to mention that there are two wildly different types of tricycles, but they also failed to back up their claim that they look sleek.
That there was no sleekness involved.
And I think very, very importantly and very crucially, these are, it's easier to balance them, sure. And they're generally more safe for people to ride. But with the one wheel in front and two wheels in the back, that is inherently unstable at speed. This is a cautionary tale. They really should have added this. It's like, yeah, these are really easy to get on. You don't have to worry about balance. It's easier to ride around the neighborhood. But it is more dangerous at speed because once you try to make a turn and you're going really fast, you fall over basically.
I remember that as a kid when you just like kind of race your cousin or whatever and you're just like cruising down the street and then you try to turn and it would just tip over.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I tipped over in that little blue tricycle.
Inherently unstable at speed. And that, you know what, as proof, that's what killed Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne didn't die.
Yeah, he did. He died in a three-wheeler accident.
Recently?
No, this was years ago.
Ozzy Osbourne, I was just watching him.
All right, Catherine, you're right. I remember it being reported in 2003 that he was in an ATV accident.
Right.
I'm looking this up, and I guess it was meant because he was on a TV show at the time.
Yes.
So I guess they were trying to over-dramatize it, and I remember seeing a clip, and they said he died.
Oh, my goodness.
They probably didn't say he died, but it made it look like he died.
Oh, of course.
But he was riding one of those three-wheeler ATVs, which is much more dangerous than the four-wheelers. And they're all dangerous.
Yeah, the three-wheelers, I think it's a false sense of security that you're stable. Because you're right, absolutely. If you're taking a corner.
As soon as you turn.
Right. And I think they're kind of clunky. And the few that I've tried out, I'm not committed any longer to buying a tricycle. I would just like a nice...
I think it's still a good idea.
Do you?
I wouldn't hesitate to buy one. For cargo especially, they're good for cargo.
Right. Well, cargo... Yeah, it's like if I still lived in your neighborhood, no doubt. But up here, I mean, there's nowhere to ride it. I would just ride it around my stupid neighborhood.
And you'd literally have to get a trailer to take it anywhere.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not going to fit anywhere. I mean, I can't haul it around.
Or you could get a pickup. Mm. Put in the back of a pickup.
No.
Get the new Ford Maverick, which is the hybrid pickup. And I think it's the same chassis as, what do you have? Which vehicle do you
have? The Escape.
Escape. Yeah, I think it's the same chassis, basically. So anyway, this article that claims that Ozzy's still alive, I mean, I don't believe it, but it also says that 300 to 400 people are killed every year in the United States on these stupid things. Well, stay away from three-wheelers.
Yeah.
Or at least stay away from high speeds on three-wheelers. And that's the crazy thing. Motorcycles, like the upright, regular motorcycles, the upright ones that are three-wheelers, I don't know how people ride those, like on the highway. That is just insane to me. I see usually old guys riding them, whereas the one wheel in the front and the two in the back... And it looks like a completely regular motorcycle, except it's got two wheels in the back. And those things are just death machines.
Yeah, I think all motorcycles are.
Well, this is my least favorite podcast now because I've been proven wrong about something.
Oh my gosh. It's just, what can we say about that? I have no words.